Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Mind, body, spirit, how you can lean forward into your life. My guest today is Mary Ann Radmacher. Mary Ann, you are on Whidbey Island in the state of Washington.
Yes, I am, Donna.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. I have really enjoyed your book, because I felt that there was so much wisdom and heart that was put into it. It's the type of book that if you sit and you read with a highlighter in hand, which I did, you'll find that you have a lot more color on the pages than you would ever imagine. Now, you're an interesting woman because you are, she's so talented, you're very artistic, you have been involved with, you know, designing cards, and you are a magnet author for quotable cards. You have a full product line of small posters, greeting cards, and all kinds of paper products that have an inspirational theme to them. And your home is in Salem, Oregon, which is interesting because you're up here in the Northwest on, you know, just enjoying our magnificently dynamic weather, I'll put it that way. And you also involved in teaching, and you involve yourself in multicultural environments, and you've taught in prisons as well as in preschool. This is interesting information about you, because here you are as a creative person, quite successful in your own way. What was it that spurred you to put down so much of your life into this book?
I love the concept of a commonplace book, Donna. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yes.
It's centuries old as a practice. The founding fathers of America, as a matter of fact, maintained the process of a commonplace book. And what it really amounts to is this, that through an individual's lifetime, they maintain a record of the teachers and the phrases, music, poetry, and the events that dramatically impact and shape them. And so in a way, Lean Forward Into Your Life is my commonplace book, because I am telling the lessons and the stories that have shaped my life.
Your book starts off with a foreword by Paul Leopoulos.
Yes.
And, man, I just read that first page, and I thought, this man's life was really a tough one. His mother was murdered in the back of her antique shop in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yes.
And on Memorial Day, May 28, 2001, his 17-year-old daughter was run off the highway by a reckless driver.
Yes.
She was killed. A year later, his older brother died of a rare illness. In 2004, his wife's father died on November 27th, the birthday of their oldest son. When he was buried, the day he was buried, his wife's mother, Linda's mother, died from brain cancer. And, you know, that just one thing after another slammed this man's life.
Yes, and I mean, Paul follows that litany of tragedy by saying that many people say that losing a child is the worst thing that can happen to you, that it blows a hole in your heart and you're never the same. And Paul and Linda's story inspires me so deeply, because they have taken their unspeakable losses and channeled that grief into giving goodness to other young people.
Yes, and they've been doing this for 17 years plus. That was the age of their daughter.
Yes, they actually, they founded Thea Foundation the year after Thea was lost to them, and they had tremendous support from their friends. And Paul's story is profoundly inspirational, and we can one day look forward to Paul telling his story in his own book.
Well, that'll be fabulous. But what Paul and his wife did, which I think is just phenomenal, they had founded the Thea Foundation.
Yes.
And they have given away 55 scholarships amounting to over $600,000 to graduating high school seniors in Arkansas. But he says about you that you learned meaningful answers to the meaning of life, and you are sharing your recipe. And, of course, I like to cook, so I love using the analogy of sharing recipes. I think that's
too.
A great one. And I think it was a wonderful way. You know, someone listening to this may say, Donna, are you for real? Good grief. This is a story of tragedy right in the beginning of the book. Who wants to open up a book and read it? But it goes from the realities of life, and life is not a straight line. Life isn't fair. I mean, this is a world that we live in that has so many variables we couldn't even begin to name all of the colors of them. And that is a bit of what your book is about.
It is. Very much so. That we don't allow the ideal of leaning forward into your life is that you do not allow the tragedies, the difficulties, the challenges to be anything other than a lesson and an opportunity to learn and be better at the end of your day than you are at the start, which is certainly not to diminish the difficulty of certain circumstances that many of us face.
Absolutely, because that's part of who we are as people.
Yes, it is.
That's part of what creates the character is
but if,
how we work with it.
If we allow those circumstances continuously throughout our lives to define us, we unfortunately just become subject to random events in our days. And what Lean Forward Into Your Life is really about are the stories and the events and the inspirations that allow us to embrace those difficulties and hold on to the joys and make them all work together.
I like your sentences. Lean forward into your life, catch the best bits and the finest wind. Just tip your feathers and flight a wee bit and see how dramatically that small lean can change your life. And that brought to mind the experience I had once in a glider and just how a wee bit of the tipping of the wings, using your words, can create a whole lift and sometimes a dip. But you can ride the current and you're safe.
Yeah.
And you can do it for a good deal of time. All right, now, Marianne, intention is something you address. And you encourage people to write, to make sense of whatever's going on in their life. And I'm firmly a believer in journaling. You begin one of your stories about a creation myth.
Yes.
And you say, this is my creation myth. And you talk about Umbria and Vitae.
Yeah.
Tell us about those two characters you created.
Well, I created those two characters because I wanted a word that represented the earthiness of creation and the vibrant, natural color of the world. And I stayed for 2 months in Umbria in Italy, where, Donna, just the numbers of the colors of dirt in soil in the landscape in Umbria, Italy, are too numerous to begin to name. And so that character in my own personal mythology represents all that is solid and beautiful about the earth. And vita is the base word for vitality and for the fire of life, the light.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two very significant characters that I wrote into my own creation myth.
And you talk about Richard Kessler. You call him a MacGyver kind of guy. And MacGyver is one of my favorite television characters because that guy could fix everything. I think of, gee whiz, wouldn't it be nice to have a MacGyver around frequently?
Oh, Donna, Richard Kessler happens to be a Washington resident too, close to your neck of the woods, and anyone that knows Richard and is fortunate enough to have him in their neighborhood calls him when anything doesn't work.
Like I said, MacGyvers, we need more of you.
We
That's
do.
For sure. And I like what you have about him. You say he never rewrites his history. He turns his experiences into types of tales or parables so that he and others might continue to learn from them. He says it's not about the scars that you have in life. It's about the stories.
Yes.
And I thought that that was absolutely a wonderful way to discuss them. So to find out about Umbria and Vaike, you have to get the book to read it because it is very, very delightful. Listening. I was just talking with someone earlier today about listening. Now, we're not talking about the chatter of other people. We are talking about listening to the self. And you have the cutest story about this little girl. You say she's one of your best pals. I don't know if she's still eight.
She's actually going to turn 11.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Indeed.
All right. So when you wrote this, she was about 8 years of age. Tell us about her, because I just loved the way that that chapter, Listen Hard, opened up with that story.
Well, her name is Taylina, and we were having dinner one evening, and she was telling a story about what had happened to her at school that day, and she stopped, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, what? And she said, why are you screwing your face up like that? And I said, because I'm listening to you. And she said, well, your face is all wrinkled. And I said, well, that's because I'm listening to you so hard, Taylina. And she suggested that as I aged,
Don't you just love it coming from an eight-year-old?
I might want to consider listening a little softer because it would be better for my face.
So you won't get wrinkled.
So I won't get wrinkled.
The wisdom of an eight-year-old thing. Don't frown, for heaven's sake. You're going to have all those lines in your face. You're too young for that. You don't want it when you're an old lady. I mean, that is wisdom.
Well, there is a lot of wisdom in that, and we, as good friends, have shared. She shares a remarkable base of wisdom with me, coming from just a magical child self. And in the last few years, she has refined her own art of listening well, and she manages to do it without furrowing her brow.
Yes, and that is wonderful. You bring up the point that security is an illusion.
Yes.
And why did you feel that that was necessary in this chapter of Listening Hard to bring that point up?
Well, Donna, I can only tell you today why I thought it was important then. But to listen well and listen hard to both yourself, your own intuition, and to the words of another person, you have to feel a sense of security. Because if you are insecure in the exchange, you're going to be infinitely eager, thinking about what you're going to say next, how it will sound, how you're going to phrase your words, and you end up not participating anywhere near fully in the conversation that you're in.
That's true. That's very true. In your book, and again, I'm going through different parts of it because I just think you've got so much meat and potatoes in your book that there's no way we're going to be able to really dive in and chew thoroughly and swallow. You have to sort of take this book, enjoy it, because you've got such wonderful stories. And you have this chapter on play. And I think that that is so important. Play with abandon. And this is right at the very beginning of that chapter, and it's one of your poems. You say, live boldly, laugh loudly, love truly. Play as often as you can. Work as smart as you're able. Share your heart as deeply as you reach. As you awaken, may your dreams greet you by name, and may you answer yes. As you walk, may all your angels gather at your shoulders, and may you confidently know they stand with you. As you rest, may all your endeavors know contentment. and peace. And then at the very end of your chapter, what did the snail say as he climbed on the back of the turtle? Whee! Play can happen anywhere. You're the toy. Laugh. And I thought the contrast between the beginning and the end was just too good to pass up. Couldn't ignore it. And I love the image of the snail. That was just wonderful.
Thanks.
Was that something that was hard for you to learn?
Yes. Playing has been very difficult for me to learn. And perhaps you can draw that assessment because you're so insightful, Donna. And it's clear that I have a sense of humor because it comes out in my writing.
Sure.
But I was a fairly serious child and tended to spend a lot of time thinking about the weightier subjects in the world. Not sad, but just especially thoughtful. And really tending to want to squeeze every useful, productive minute out of every day of my life. And I have learned that play is an incredibly productive moment. We think of it as reward, and really play is instrumental to successful, productive work.
Oh, I agree. I had a girlfriend that taught me that lesson many years ago.
Really?
Her name was Cheryl. She was such a sweetheart. She's one of these very spontaneous, exuberant, bubbly souls that doesn't have to have any rhyme or reason. Sometimes I think they made up the blonde jokes because she existed. I mean, she was wonderful. And I'm not putting blondes down. But she was just one of these people, and she'd come up with the wackiest, most whimsical things to do. And this one day we were out shopping, and something came up, and I don't remember what the frustration was, and she said, come on. The next thing I knew, and of course I was a willing participant, we were riding a carousel for three-year-olds. And to this day, every time I think of that, I have to chuckle. We were laughing so hard we could hardly see straight.
I know.
And it was just a moment.
Those just make the finest memories, don't they, Donna?
They do. They are really, really wonderful. Why do you think it's so hard for us to play?
Because I think that we draw a lot of our self-image and value from what we are able to produce and gain approval from others from. We come to the end of the day and we want to be able to see the bread we've baked, the marketing project we sewed up, the graphic design page layout that's finished, and the hours spent smelling your garden or in contemplative thought don't have physical things that you can set on the table and say, I spent 5 hours thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to measure the results of play and non-doing time as their own benefit.
That is so true. I think and I can just relate to that myself. There are times that we get so busy being busy that if we take a deep breath, it's like all of a sudden time stops and we have to ask ourselves, where am I going? What am I doing? Now, it doesn't mean you should not be a productive person. It doesn't mean that you don't go to work and that you don't have a life that is handled responsibly. But I think we have, in our world today, forgotten it's okay just to lay down on the dirt and watch a butterfly.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, whatever. It's okay to do that. The world isn't going to care, and it gives you a chance to have a moment of healing for yourself.
In the training that I do in the corporate setting, one of the most important things that I help my corporate executives do is learn how to release their anxiety and all of the burden of thought that they're walking around with, and I get them to play a game. Then we immediately move into a complex problem-solving issue because, Donna, the place of perspective when a person's mind is at play is open, it's innovative, it's ready for invention.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the best kind of mindset to have when you need to go into a problem-solving mode.
Mm-hmm.
it's counterintuitive to the way our executive culture operates, but truly, try this at work, you guys. You pull out a game and play it for a couple of minutes and see what kind of a mind shift you have toward the problem you're trying to solve. It's remarkable.
Yes, it is. And I think you can go take a walk. You maybe can go out and work in a garden if you want. What I always enjoyed was just going shopping, just walking through maybe a shopping mall, not buying anything necessarily, just shopping. It puts you in it's a different mind shift.
Well, and it's stimulating. It's visually stimulating to do
mm-hmm.
what you're talking about because you're looking at forms and colors and new products and things that are unknown to you.
Right, and it is a stimulus. And I think that's something we forget as we get older. That's why children to us are so charming, because everything is a discovery to them. And they will examine it, and then it's okay. They don't try to own it. They don't try to possess it. They just appreciate it for that moment that they are involved with it, and then they move on.
Yes.
And we as adults sometimes, I think we get stuck in our own muck. We just get stuck and we don't know how to get ourselves out. Maybe all we need to do is take a can of water and pour it over our hands and wash some of the muck away. I can be inventive too. I wouldn't want to have anybody have the opportunity of volunteering for using the hose. That can be rather messy. But anyway, you also treasure friends, which I do as well. And you talk about your friend Rachel, and she started a Christmas present tradition that I thought was fabulous. Tell us about that tradition.
She gifted me with a beautifully bound leather journal that was blank on the inside, except for where she had begun sharing with me her favorite colors, a favorite story from her childhood, and many of her favorite poems. And it came accompanied with a little note that said, through this wild adventure that is our life as friends, she wanted to pass this journal back and forth over the years and just compile a circle of our friendship recorded in this beautiful book.
What an idea.
Oh.
That's better than any present you could possibly purchase. Because one day when both of you, are crotchety old women of 95, you'll be able to go back to these logs and say, remember this?
Yes.
No, you've got to be kidding. Yeah, he was really a jerk. Or, do you remember that recipe for peach pie? Yeah, I ate four of them.
Well, the sweetest thing now is that in that precious little book is a piece that she wrote before her soon-to-be husband, asked her to marry him, and it was just a really heartfelt presentation of how she felt about the possibility of their future together. And now we're just weeks away from watching her get married, and it's a precious, precious record of our evolving friendship, and I cherish it.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing. One day she'll be able to share that with her children.
Yes.
What a wonderful gift that is. Again, you have so many wonderful excerpts in your book, Marianne, and one of them, one portion is do what you love.
Mm.
And I'm a strong advocate for that. You talk about a young woman by the name of Gina Bromucci. Tell us about her.
Gina is a journalist, a photographer, and a humanitarian aid worker. And when she was 17, she spent the summer working with me. And in casual conversation one day, she said she so longed to travel to Italy, but she knew she wouldn't be able to do it till she was, well, she said old. She meant 30, but
yes,
now that...
At her age, when she was thinking it, that's old.
And Donna, now that she's 30, her perspective on what old is has certainly changed. But in truth, we had a quick conversation about why we think certain things aren't achievable, and we agreed to some general goals. And as it happened, 9 months later, we traveled to Italy together.
Amazing.
And on that trip, I had the opportunity to ask Gina what it was that she really longed to do with her life. And she hemmed and hawed and finally managed to say that she wanted to be a writer. And at that time, her family had provided some very practical observations why being a writer was perhaps not the most lucrative vocation that she could choose for herself. But in her heart of hearts, that's what she wanted to be. And she has graduated with a master's in journalism, and that is indeed how Gina is now earning her living, doing what she loves.
I want to quote something from your book. It's, "Life is sacred, live on purpose. Be intoxicated with this world and astonished with the world you imagine. Growth is a journey. Success doesn't require a rival. Want what you already hold. Give no place to public opinion. Delight in your friends. Practice the art of doing nothing. Embrace moments of grace. Give the child in you a wide sky. Understand that laughter is prayer." And you co-authored that with Terry Hershey.
Yes.
I think that that is absolutely a wonderful, wonderful quote. Because it really gets down to the bare-bone basics of a wonderful philosophy of life that, again, doesn't take away from responsibility, but makes us aware that we each have this magnificent part and role to play in life, and that we should live and savor each moment as we have it.
It's so very true. And I'd love to comment on that piece, if I may.
Sure, go right ahead.
It's the only piece that I've ever co-authored with anyone else. And Terry is also a Washington resident, Donna, and he is the author of Soul Gardening and a host of other really great books. Terry and I talked a lot about the phrase that I introduced, "Give no heed to public opinion." And time and again, everywhere I go and speak and have the opportunity to gather with people, it's an amazingly prevalent challenge that people are so concerned with what their coworkers think, what their neighbors think. The press of public opinion is one of the greatest inhibitors to people moving forward with their dreams, acting on their intuition, and moving forward with doing what they love. Do you find that in your work?
Oh, yes. That was very, very much a significant part of my life. In fact, there was a great deal of pain that I went through because of actual condemnation. But I will have to say this. Most of the time when I went through a number of other moments, I was the hardest. I condemned myself more than anyone else could have. And the nights and days of mental darkness because of that were so painful because I had been taught you don't ever open up to anybody. You just carry it around. And, of course, I've learned through the years that that really isn't the way to go. And I had the good fortune of meeting someone when I was in my 20s that helped me open not just a door but many doors within myself. But it's a process. I think that's part of what your book, Lean Forward into Life, is all about, is to give people the opportunity of touching within themselves those sacred spaces that they don't need to be afraid that are going to be tainted by someone or that they're going to be going through an inquisition of types. Sometimes you might.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might. But the truth is, there are really a lot of people that don't give a hoot about what you do. They've got too much stuff in their own life. They've got their own muck that they're standing in, and they might give you 30 seconds worth of attention, but after, you know, give them 15 seconds, so somebody else will come by and they'll pick on them. And you'll just see a moment of memory that, you know, 5 years later, you say, "Do you remember this?" And who are you?
Yes.
Just, it's a flash in the pan of life experience. And I think that you've done a wonderful job with your book. My guest is Marianne Radmacher. She has a website. It's her name, Marianne Radmacher. That's M-A-R-Y-A-N-N-E. Last name, R-A-D, macher.com. Marianne, it's been a delight. Enjoy your time while you're up here in Washington, because I know your home is in Oregon. And keep on writing. You do a fabulous job.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. The book is Lean Forward Into Your Life. Begin each day as if it were on purpose. Your purpose. Marianne Radmacher has been my guest. We are taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you. Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Yes, those telephone lines have opened up, so here are the telephone numbers to call in to. What am I going to do? I'll give you insight into your life with my mental disciplines, and all I need is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I always enjoy knowing where you are calling in from. 877-876-5227 is the toll-free number for the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. For everyone else, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Someone once, many, many, many years ago, had said to me, I was in a creative writing class. That was when I was in high school. I think I was a sophomore. It was a summer school class. And I'll never forget a teacher saying to me, Donna, if you would write the way you talk, it would be wonderful. And I think that our guest, Marianne, that we just had, she does such a good job of communicating in a way that I think just reflects her in the way she does things. And so many of you out there listening, believe it or not, you have stories, you have things that you want to share and you want to tell. And you may not think it's very worthy, but I'll tell you, writing is something, if you'll just sit down and you'll just do it. Don't worry about the grammar. There's always going to be an editor somewhere that can help you clean that up. But if you'll just write within your heart and in your mind, you will be amazed at how many people will find it interesting. And I'm serious. I really am. I know of a woman that had a grandmother who was a Cherokee Indian, and she survived the Trail of Tears. And I'm telling you, that's going to be published one day. And I like to think that maybe I had something to do with encouraging it being published, because this person has been trying to analyze it so much that they've forgotten that they need to tell the grandmother's story. The grandmother's story. It's the great-grandmother, excuse me. The great-grandmother's story. And it's there to be told. Anyway, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Let's take our first caller for the day. Welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Good afternoon, Donna. My name is Jonathan, and I'm calling from Manitoba.
Manitoba. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're so delighted to have you with us.
Well, you were a pleasant surprise, because I just found this site, And I listened to the interview that you had with Marianne
Radmacher.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent, excellent interview. Great book, too, by the way.
Sounds good. It is. It is. It's just wonderful. And I'm so delighted that you discovered us. Thank you. Let me share with you what I do. Jonathan, the first thing that is coming into my mind is that you're good with money. You have a knack of being able to be very effective as a communicator with other people when it comes to problem solving. You yourself are at, I would say, a junction in your career road where you would like to evaluate and develop a strategy for change, but you haven't quite been able to put your finger on exactly what it is that you want to do. I would say, do some brainstorming with some friends. Just make it wild and wacky. Don't try to make it anything really intense or serious. And then reflect on what's said, because I believe you're going to be able to encapsulate concepts in a very comprehensive form that you're going to be able to share with other people. Now, it looks to me as if I'm seeing a workbook. I'm also looking at the potential of a book. Maybe it would be described as a how-to book, but it's not dry. There's a lot of warmth in the writing in the book that I think is going to come about 2 years later after the workbook is developed. So there's a lot going on inside of you, and you feel like it's time to make a major move career-wise, but you know you're not quite ready for it yet. Be patient and work out the details. What's going to happen, you're going to find that you are going to move forward very quickly and very rapidly once you have all of your choices in front of you. The economics will be there. You'll be able to do the traveling you want to do. You also are going to be able to see how you can take the next step and the next junction of interaction with a team of about 6 people. You're going to work together for a particular objective. And this is going to take overall, I think, anywhere from 8 to 10 years to totally come into positioning. So it's almost as if I'm looking at the big picture and then I'm going backwards to get back to where you are.
Okay.
So it's not something that is going to happen overnight. It's going to take you a while to put together the particulars, and it's worth every bit of the time invested. Every bit of the time invested, because when you're ready to make the career shift, there's going to be such a commitment and such obligation. I'm seeing your eyes feeling like they're going to pop out of their sockets because you're so tired of looking at the computer. I'm just seeing you going, oh, I feel like I'm brain dead. So you will have, once you make your change and your shift, once you make that happen, it's going to be a pretty intensive 2 years, but you're not going to be unhappy with it. You're just going to know that this is what's going to evolve. Do you have a question for me today?
Well, I just wanted to basically say that you nailed it. In my work, I'm a cetacean biologist. So I go to work in the winter when the humpback whales come to Hawaii.
Ooh.
But what I envisioned doing was setting up my own business to take people swimming with whales in Tonga. So I've already started the process of talking to some investors to try and set that whole idea in motion. And I think the book, that workbook that you saw, was a collaboration that I want to do for a children's book. At first, I thought it was my thesis that I just wrote for my PhD, but then as you were speaking, it unfolded, and I realized that that was the children's book that I've been wanting to do for a number of years. So that's even in the process. So you are something else, lady.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You know, it's great to be, like, I don't need to be validated by the outside world because I know that I'm complete within myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear it come from someone who doesn't even know me, and yet we're all connected, it truly validates what I feel and believe. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Well, I hope you'll tune in again.
I will.
Oh, great. And tell your friends,
too. And if you ever make it to the Big Island during the winter, please be my guest.
Oh, I would be delighted. Send me an email. We'll just put that aside because that's one of my objectives. If you know of anybody that would like to have a speaker, then keep me in mind.
I will.
All right, sir.
Your email address is on the site, I believe?
Yes, it's on the site, donna@delphiinternational.com.
DelphiInternational.com. Okay.
Yeah, if it should bounce back, just try again. We're having gremlins attack us all of a sudden again with our system. Don't ask me why, but it's just one of those
things. I think it's sunspots, dear. Solar storms. I think they're kind of active right now because we've been having the same thing up here where the Internet just goes out and, you know, we have to reboot everything. So
yes, that's exactly what I've been doing all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just been amazing. Well, thank you very much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure was half mine. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Aloha.
Aloha. This is Donna Sebo. That's how simple it is. All you have to do is call in the telephone number, U.S. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, for anyone else, 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know tomorrow is going to be an open mic day. I don't have these very often, but they're so much fun to do when I do because I get to talk. Is that strange? Yeah, not really. Anyway, I will have a chance to share with you all kinds of tidbits and goodies and stories and, of course, talk to you. The phone lines will be open for the entire hour tomorrow, so just keep that in mind. But on Friday, we are going to be talking to Julia Molden. We're going to be talking about the brand new radicals. Yes. Who are they? Well, you're going to have to listen Friday to find out. I am totally in favor of these brand new radicals because that's what we need. We are living in a time where change is evolving so quickly, where we're having to pay attention to so many things that maybe it would have in previous history been 50 years, 100 years, maybe 200 years before someone said, yeah, maybe we'll make the change. That's not the fact today. Today, because we have a very open communication line throughout the world and people can be in touch with each other and brilliant minds are able to communicate so much more readily with each other, change is moving at a phenomenal pace. So this is an insight into some of those changes that are happening without much fanfare. But believe me, Julia is going to fan the fair of activity and enlighten us, so we'll be doing that. And then, the following week, we're going to be talking about how you can stay healthy, live longer, and spend wisely. Dr. Liu is a man who really loves his profession, but also has a great deal of compassion for people and patients of all kinds and the economics of medical care. So he's going to be sharing his wisdom with us. Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed. Carolyn Bartz, this is a cat woman. Yes, she absolutely loves them and is going to regale us with all kinds of kitty stories. And then Facing the Lion, Being the Lion, Mark Nepo. These are some of the people that are coming up next week. We have a dynamic lineup. We have a fabulous lineup of people next month as well. But that's what the Donna Sebo Show is all about, is bringing to the table of information the individuals who are each and every one of them doing their own thing. So we invite you to join us. And also you can call me and the latter half of the show when the telephone lines are open. Don't forget, we've got a toll-free number of 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, and of course, for everyone else, our direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, we're going to be going to break in just a moment, but I want to share with you a marvelous story when I come back by Deborah Davis. It might give you a few chills when you hear it, but there's a purpose of my sharing it with you, right? Yes. Always like to share stories of serendipitous situations that in a million years you couldn't plan for, but happen in spite of. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be going to a break for just a moment. When we come back again, don't forget those phone lines are open, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. We're coming right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
TTAP. Time to recognize it. You'll work through it and come out the better for it. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.